Welcome to the ITV podcast with the world's most famous jockey, Lanfranco Dettori. Hello, Frankie.
Hi.
Welcome to the ITV podcast. Now, you were born on the 15th of December, 1970. You're 5'4", you weigh in at 120 pounds, and your interests are golf, cooking, wine, which is always worrying, and...
football.
Sport.
Oh, sport. No. What about racing?
Yeah, racing has to be in there.
Stick that in.
Are you a good cook?
Yeah, not too bad, yes. Parents cooked really well. My wife, Kathleen, not the best of cooks, so I tend to do my own cooking.
Right. What's yours? If I was coming for dinner, which is obviously unlikely, but if I was, your speciality dish would be?
Well, for you, I probably cook a pasta matriciana, but I can cook a lasagna. In general, for myself, I eat a lot of fish, a lot of chicken, so that's very simple to cook. But for you, a nice pasta matriciana, you love that.
And obviously, you've built up a few quid over the years. Your wine cellar, is it a good one?
Well, at the moment, I'm in the process of building a house, so most of the wines are in stock, but I do like my wine, and until I move to the new place, it's on the back burner.
Frankie, I'm going to ask you some of the questions which might seem silly to you, but I think they're the kind of questions people would like an answer to. Do you feel like you are the most famous face, as far as jockeys are concerned, in the world? And knowing that, whether you deny it or not, because it is true, how does that make you feel as a sportsman?
Well, it only took me 31 years to get recognised. I've been very lucky. I've had some great success. Plus, I've had the plane crash. It was very well showed on TV.
Documented, yeah. Yeah.
And obviously winning the 7 races. So those adds on to my popularity.
But Frankie, if football has Messi and Ronaldo, let's say, you know, horse racing has Frankie Dettori. With that becomes responsibility and all that kind of stuff. That you are the face. You are the jockey everyone in the world knows. If anyone says, do you know a jockey at the moment? Oh yeah, that guy who jumps off the horses, Dettori.
Well, I can't change that. I really don't take any notice of it. I try to live my life like I've been doing since I was a kid. You know, it goes without saying that people recognize me. Everybody in general are pleasant and say hello. But like I said, I'm not afraid to go to the petrol station or supermarket or just try to live a normal life. And, is my sport put me on this pedestal, and I can't take that away from it. But I try to just go along with it and enjoy it.
I had a long conversation with one of your colleagues the other day, James Doyle, who's doing well this season. And during the conversation, he surprised me a little bit because he actually said, you know what, I think I deserve the success I'm getting now. I've worked hard. Do you feel that you deserve what you've got? Have you had to work hard, or do you have this innate natural ability that actually it's all been quite easy for you?
You've got to look at your genes. My dad was a champion jockey. My mum worked in the circus. I was basically groomed from the beginning in ponies. Then I went to Kumani as a 14-year-old, and he was a great tutor and a very hard master. And then I was, to me, things came very naturally for those kind of reasons. Obviously, you got to have the talents, but you got to work at it. And I did when I was young, and and the race takes care of itself. In James' position, it's completely different to me. I always felt kind of, born to do this. And yep. I find it is my second nature.
And we've got the acrobat in you, of course, that comes from your mum, I guess. The jumping off horses, there will be some people listening to this who don't know why you jump off horses, Frankie. Everyone loves you to do it. The first thing commentator says, oh, I wonder if Frankie's going to jump off. It used to be for group ones now.
For everything.
Now it's for everything because, of course, soon you'll be so old you won't be able to jump off anything. But how did that come about? When did you first jump off and think it was a good idea?
Well, when I was a teenager, I spent three or four winters in California. And there was this great jockey called Angel Cordero. And he used to do the flying dismount. That's how we call it. And I just basically stole it off him and brought it to Europe, and I didn't realize it was going to make such a big impact on people. And any other sport, people celebrate when they score or when they win a race, so on and so forth. And it just adds a little bit of fun. In the 80s, racing was quite stiff. Was in brackets a sport of kings. Nobody's allowed to smile or have a fun. So I kind of broke the ice, and I think people will enjoy it.
Frankie, we could speak for hours about your career. You won't want to do that. But let's just go through some bullet points. 1987, your first rides as an apprentice. How did you even come to be in England? Who brought you here? Do you remember?
I was meant to come here for kind of working a holiday for 6 months. And
is that something your dad had organized? Of course,
Gianfranco
was
a great jockey. Yes, of course, my dad and Luca Cumani. And because my dad used to work for Luca Cumani's dad, Sergio.
Right.
And so we got a little bit of family connection. And, you know, what meant to be a 6 months working experience that turned into 32 or 33 years that I've been here. So it's quite mad, really.
Just a year later, you lose your claim. You're crown champion apprentice. You're the first apprentice to ride more than 100 winners since Lester Piggott. And then you're appointed stable jockey to Luca Cumani. But there was a bit of trouble with Luca, wasn't it? You didn't have a great night out in London one night. And then you were meant to be going off to Hong Kong. And then you didn't go to Hong Kong and Luca got the hump with you. How bad was it with Luca when Luca finally found out you were going to Hong Kong? And I think you kept it a bit of a secret and didn't really tell him. But when he finally found out, how bad was that moment and how angry was Luca? Because I believe Luca was very angry.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Now, you explained it all very well. And
have I?
I went to kind of, I knocked on his office door and he just kept me waiting outside for 2 hours and it was raining as well. And to eventually let me in, and he said that I was fired. So what a waste of 2 hours under the rain. Let's move on.
1993, you become retained by Sheikh Mohammed Al Maktoum, and in many ways your life changes there, because, you know, with Sheikh Mohammed and Godolphin, etc., you were taken into the big time, winning Breeders' Cups, winning Classics, and of course then you had the Magnificent Seven at Ascot in 1996. You were asked on ITV recently, you know, would you have preferred to ride Frankel or Magnificent Seven, but the simple truth is that the Magnificent Seven kind of changed your life in a way.
It did, and you know, I was the first one to do it, and 350 years of racing, and I mean, it's something that I'm very proud of. And you know, I've rode some great horses, and Franco was a great horse, but I won't swap my feat of winning seven at Ascot for nothing, really.
Of all those horses you rode for Sheikh Mohammed, what was the one you enjoyed most in those days?
Well, obviously, I rode some great champions, but the one who stood out was definitely Dubai Millennium. He was, you know, he was a freak, he was a raw talent, and he was a jockey's dream. That's what you look for every year, to find a horse that good.
The plane crash in 2000.
Yeah.
How much did that change your life? Pulling Ray Cochrane out and all that kind of stuff.
Well, of course it changed my life. I should have been dead, and here I am, 18 years later, I'm still here talking to you. So, you know, and that what taught me a lot is, like, you know, to enjoy life and, you know, and enjoy what I do. And, you know, we all have bad days, but overall I try to be positive and have a good outlook of life.
And in recent times, you've sort of kind of gone full circle. You split with Sheikh Mohammed, you went with Sheikh Joanne, you had the Qatar link, which gave you a new sort of influx of life. And now you've gone full circle back to a man who helped you much in the early days, John Gosden, Johnny G, as I like to call him. And it's now back to a marriage made in heaven. It's almost like you had a teenage love that you didn't marry and you finally ended up with them.
Yeah, look, I feel very blessed that I managed to come back with John. All the people that helped me along the way, Sheikh Mohammed, obviously Sheikh Joanne, and all the other people that I've worked for. But, you know, I feel very comfortable with John Gosden and his team. He trains to suits my riding, and I guess I ride to suits his training. And, you know, we have this chemistry together, and may long continue, Matt.
We're going to end with three fairly easy categories. First of all, you were third in the BBC Sports Personality of the Year in 1997. You were awarded an MBE in 2001. You've had awards all over the place. Of all those awards, is the one that actually means something to you, that you would think, you know what, that is pretty cool, I've got that?
I take no notice.
MBE? Frankie Dettori, MBE?
I mean, exactly. I mean, to get to an Italian fella to get an MBE was pretty amazing. And
okay.
You know, but I don't really look back to things like that. I am Frankie Dettori, and you know, I don't need any titles.
Honestly, just the way you said that, I am Frankie Dettori.
Yeah, you like that?
Like, yeah.
Well, I am.
I know who I am. We started by saying, how much does it mean to be Frankie? And you were going, yeah. Now you say, I am Frankie Dettori. Look, television.
Yes.
Now, what's your favourite of all this lot? You were the team captain on the BBC's Question of Sport.
Yeah.
You've been on TFI Friday. Remember you jumping out of a box. You've hosted Top of the Pops. You've been on This Is Your Life. You've been on The Parkinson Show. Des O'Connor, Grandstand, Sports Night, Clive Anderson, Big Brother. Tell me, of all those shows, again, was the one actually you really enjoyed doing? Was it fun?
I really enjoyed my time that I had with Sue Barker and Ali McCoist in The Question of Sport. I met some great sportsmen and we had some great laughs.
And tell me about Frankie Dettori's Italian food range. Was your ice cream better than your pizza, or was your pizza better than your ice cream?
Unfortunately, my stuff was good, but the supermarket squeezed the price out of me, and unfortunately, it didn't work. So I had to abandon that experiment. But
I love the meat feast.
It was a shame because it was really good.
It was good.
Is that it, Matt? Are we done for
everyone? I think from the ITV podcast, Frankie. Just finally, you've said to everyone, 5 more years of Dettori.
Yes.
People will be listening to this podcast for years ahead.
5 more years.
Any more food coming out in the next 5 years?
At the moment, no.
Okay. Any more TV shows?
Possibly. Aren't you? I get asked to do everything. Okay. So that's in the back burner until I retire.
Okay, but, I think we'll sign off. I'll sign off by saying, Frankie, if you do ever do Dancing on Ice, could you just put a good word in for me as the commentator?
Yeah, you make your balls off on that.
I've only done one episode so far. Frankie Dettori, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for everyone to listening on this, and hopefully we'll see you at the races. Bye.